This could still be an oil tank farm. This could be a landfill. These wetlands could have been divided between a private golf course and 78 apartments. But instead, it's this. And this. And this. This is the Kirkland we know. It is the Kirkland we expect. And it's why many of us live here. But Kirkland could have been different. It could have more parking lots, more condos, more office parks, and fewer waterfront parks, fewer wild places, fewer recreational spaces.
There's some Native American philosophy that says you don't make decisions for just the immediate future, but you think of seven generations. And I think that ethos is really critical, and I think there must have obviously was an element of that.
Well, we've had this consistent understanding of all of our leaders, both the council side and the administration side, that a city is much more than just development and jobs and roads. You know, an infrastructure. Those are the things that make a good city. But what the leadership understood back in the 60s when they started to take these actions was that the heart and soul of a city is really its park system, its open space system.
This is a philosophy the Kirkland City Council adopted as an official goal. And it's a philosophy Kirkland staff works toward every day. The work began in earnest in the 1960s. And it began with a belief that Kirkland's citizens should have the freedom to swim in their lakes, to roam through their woods, and to seek solitude in their natural places. They believed they should have a place to gather for exercise, for education, or for a chat. And because of that foresight, Kirkland has a park system that stretches across natural areas, through every neighborhood, and along every body of water. It has a recreation program that is designed for every citizen. To those of us who have experienced Kirkland's parks, these beliefs might seem basic. Who wouldn't want to gather with their neighbors for a summertime picnic? Who wouldn't want the freedom to roam through an open field at lunchtime? In the 1960s, however, these shoreline beaches and neighborhood escapes were really just ideas, insisted on by neighbors and business owners and city leaders, and approved by a public who understood that circumstance had offered their city a fleeting opportunity to make them real. They had a few factors in their favor. The decline of shipbuilding, oil shipping, and lumber milling had opened the shoreline to other uses. But these ideas, and the land they relied on, had competition. Residential developers, who also recognized a once-in-a-lifetime bargain on the waterfront.
If you owned this little piece of land, you really had the rights to build 400 feet further out over the water. And that's how these apartment complexes got built.
In 1969, that changed when the Washington State Supreme Court banned overwater developments. 2 years later, the Washington State Legislature applied the ruling statewide with the Shoreline Management Act. With too little soil to build on, waterfront land values plummeted. Developers, hoping to escape financial ruin, offered their parcels to anyone who would buy them. Sometimes the only willing buyer was the city of Kirkland.
The history of the parks is one of opportunity and finding these sites when the opportunity is right, when there's a seller who's willing to sell the land and the city is able to find the resources and to seize on those opportunities when they're available.
Understanding opportunity and seizing on it is how in 2012, Kirkland purchased nearly 6 miles of an abandoned rail line that will get people to work and at the same time, get people to play. It's how Kirkland expanded its park system from less than 40 acres in 1968 to more than 500 acres today. And it's how Kirkland has built a network of 45 neighborhood parks, community parks, and specialty parks. That's not counting the ball fields and gymnasiums of 4 middle schools and a dozen elementary schools to which Kirkland's innovative partnership with the Lake Washington School District gives citizens access. Every day, these spaces provide an outlet for someone. And several times throughout the year, they become the gathering places of the community. This is where our neighbors gather for a picnic. And where, since the end of the millennium, people from every region of the U.S. and every corner of the world gather for Little League's Junior Softball World Series. It's where we celebrate summer. And the holidays. Many of the city's biggest moments occur at these public spaces. But thousands of the city's little moments take place every day in less visible places. A child passing the swim test so she can jump off the diving board. A kid learning how to shake a hand. A senior learning how to edit her own photograph. We share these accomplishments with our neighbors, friends, and family. And many of us, about 18,000 of us, hone these skills in one of Kirkland's 2,800 community education classes. These classes and these parks have become an integral part of Kirkland's core identity. And they are the ingredient to many residents' daily lives.
He has a backyard and he has a play set in that, but it's nothing like going to the park.
And we go to our park right by our house, and like we go to a lot of parks, like 3 times a week or something.
We live in an apartment complex, so we don't have a yard. But I find that it's more fun. Even if we did have a yard, it would be more fun to go to a park where my daughters can make friends with other kids and learn how to play and share together. I think that's really important.
On June 1st, 2011, Kirkland completed one of the largest annexations in state history. On that day, the city became responsible for 6 more parks and 31,000 more people. That's a big change that could affect the quality of Kirkland's parks, and there will be more. Kirkland will continue to grow, and maintaining its unique park system will rely even more on resourcefulness and bold decisions.
There aren't a lot of great, you know, large pieces of open space sitting around waiting to be acquired and developed anymore. So the opportunities are going to have to be more strategic and looking at where we can use the land we've got to its maximum.
That means continuing to pursue the city's goal of having a neighborhood park within walking distance of every citizen. It means transforming nearly 6 miles of an abandoned rail line into a corridor that will get people to work and at the same time, get people to play. It means planning for an indoor recreational facility where all citizens can pursue their passions. And it means preserving our natural spaces where we can remember how diverse life is. The demands on Kirkland have always been changing, and they will continue to change. It's up to Kirkland's leaders and its citizens to anticipate those changes and to plan for them.
And now, you know, it goes to the community to begin to look at the value of all our parks to their life.
What I also take from it is a sense of responsibility, which is we have a responsibility to take what they did and protect it and preserve it, and then enhance it and make it even better and give a similar legacy to all future generations.
So what can you do? How can your foresight shape the land and protect the future of your community?
There's just so many tremendous opportunities. You can go to our website, kirklandwa.gov, and you can adopt a park, you can adopt a piece of trail. There's many stewardship opportunities. You can join a volunteer group, you can come out, you can pull blackberries, you can enhance and restore. You can invest in your neighborhood councils. You know, no one is more effective than the neighborhoods in saying, this is what we need in our community, in our small part of the community. So there's just many, many ways in which you can help the leaders of the city maintain and enhance this tremendous park system that we have.
Whether you're in Finn Hill or Totem Lake, Rose Hill or West of Market, your park is awaiting you. So go on and get started. Visit kirklandwa.gov to learn how.